This week on Vaticano.
Hello and welcome.
Join us for our latest edition of the Roman Knights events in the Eternal City. This time we discuss the important and fundamental role the Church has to charity. We then sit down for a conversation with one of the leaders of Italy's pro-life movement to discuss how a culture of life is being grown in Italy. And we continue our journey with the seminarians from the Pontifical North American College. This week, we travel to St. Patrick's Parish in Rome. Vaticano starts now. ...300 church communicators gathered in Rome to reflect on how to become relevant again in society. The Pontifical University of the Holy Cross hosted a three-day seminar last week on the theme Relevance and Listening, Communicating the Christian Message in the Plurality of Contemporary Voices. About 50 speakers took turns in the different sessions: academics, consultants, directors of bishops' conferences, and journalists. Many students from the Faculty of Communications, as well as 35 professors, also took part in the activities.
This is the 13th of these professional seminars for communication officers, and the theme this year is listening and relevance. And I think that's very, very appropriate given changes in society and issues that the church has been through. And so there's a big focus on how can the church listen and become more relevant or continue to be relevant in contemporary societies.
In today's context, where information is multiplied through social media, the issue of listening becomes increasingly important, especially the ability to interpret what people write and say. The seminar also focused on this topic from the church's perspective, as it prepares to experience a new synod.
And what we find is that organizations have vast resources for transmitting their messages and sending out information, but they have much less resources and focus on listening to their members, their parishioners, their stakeholders, and so forth. And so we're looking to shift that focus to apply communication resources to better listening, whether that's through research or consultation or major initiatives like the synod that's currently happening in the church.
A fundamental aspect that in today's society, especially in large organizations, is very often forgotten. In order to focus only on sharing one's own message without paying too much attention to everything else, such as really listening to people's needs. Reversus. This is the title of a new exhibition unveiled on April the 28th in the Vatican Apostolic Library, which will be open to the public until July the 15th. It's an exhibition that displays the work of a contemporary artist of Brazilian origins, the Franciscan friar minor, Father Sidival Fila. Their works created through the reuse and recovery of waste, a central theme of the Magisterium of Pope Francis.
The basis of my artistic research is that of rescuing material, because I think that the material has within it a strength and power of its own. I found it in ancient cloth, with its power and beauty, with its expressivity, and I put it in the condition to speak, creating a composition to give it a new life, but a life that isn't functional, but rather afunctional. Art has this aim. It must be a language of being, which wishes simply to tell things how they are.
It's an occasion to reflect again on the culture of waste. Pope Francis himself, on the occasion of the inauguration of this art exhibition, wished to send out a message in which he defined this phenomenon of waste as one of the most dramatic of our times.
In the message Pope Francis addressed to us for the opening of this exhibition, two words are proposed together: art and study. This is really beautiful, precisely that they come together, because there is a dimension of art as the formation of the person through creativity, but also a technique that they are called to master, to perfect, expressing the best of themselves. Art is mostly an exercise towards oneself, to be fully what one is called to be. And then the studium, which in Latin means passion, to be passionate. So I believe that to young people who must aim to promote art and study together, and how spirituality helps to forge them, to unite them, so that they learn the value of the beautiful, the good, and the true.
Del bene e del vero.
Reversis is an exhibition that depicts art as a way to transform the culture, offering all of the elements of reflection to move from a culture of waste to a culture of harmony.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. Pope Francis received in audience the Swiss Guards as they prepared for the swearing-in ceremony of the new recruits, which takes place every year on May 6th. Now, the day marks the anniversary of the heroic sacrifice of 147 Swiss Guards who died during the sack of Rome in 1527 as they protected Pope Clement VII. Now, in his meeting with the 23 new recruits, Pope Francis said, "Your mission here at the Vatican is an avenue the Lord has opened for you to live out your baptism and give joyful witness to your faith in Christ." Now, Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Parolin represented Pope Francis at the coronation of King Charles III. Now, the coronation was profoundly Christian. Now, in the opening words of the ceremony, a chorister speaks first, saying, "Your Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." And King Charles replies, "In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve." Now, the coronation consists of four moments: the anointing of the monarch, the crowning, the giving the sword of justice, and the reception of communion. Now, these elements express tradition and thus continuity and stability. The Metropolitan Archbishop of Bangalore issued a statement on Friday expressing concern over the targeting and persecution of Christians in Manipur after the eruption of violence in the state. Now, Archbishop Peter Machado said that there has recently been a resurgence of harassment against Christians in the state. "We have received reports that three churches built in 1974 and some houses have been set on fire, and the people have been forced to flee to safer places," he said. Now, reports of over a dozen more churches being burned and desecrated and Jesuit priests being threatened have also surfaced. Pope Francis called for the resumption of talks in Sudan, where intense fighting between the Sudanese military and Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group has claimed hundreds of lives and injured thousands. Now, the United Nations says more than 100,000 people have left Sudan since fighting broke out between rival forces on the 15th of April, and it is understood that 334,000 people have been displaced within the country, and officials are warning of catastrophe if the fighting does not stop. Diplomatic efforts to try and get the warring parties to the negotiating table have been intensified. Pope Francis has sent a video message to the teens and young adults preparing to attend World Youth Day in Lisbon, Portugal in August. He said, "To participate in World Youth Day is something beautiful. Prepare yourselves with that enthusiasm. Put hope in that. Have hope, because one grows a lot at an event like World Youth Day." Now, World Youth Day was established by Pope John Paul II in 1985. The week-long gathering usually attracts hundreds of thousands of young people. The event is typically held on a different continent every 3 years with the presence of the Pope. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. My name is Benjamin Crockett for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano.
Too common to say, too easy to say that in today's world we have an opening gap between have and have-nots, which is a phenomenon which has been increasing dramatically in last year.
Hello and welcome to Roman Nights.
On Thursday, May the 4th, the EWTN Vatican Bureau put on its latest edition of Roman Nights, held at the headquarters of the Order of Malta in Italy, the Casa dei Cavalieri di Rodi.
And our goal really is to bridge a little bit that gap that sometimes the Tiber is, the church with the world here in this city, in this very vital, vivid city where we can experience also all the problems that we see around the globe. And our topic today is church and charity, a very important topic.
Roman Nights is a series of gatherings created for the purpose of bringing people from different backgrounds together to reflect on topics pertaining to the life of faith in today's world. The theme chosen for this May was the Church and Charity, and brought together Ambassador Antonio Zanardi Landi, Reverend David Hulshoff, and Dr. Alessandro Pernigo for a discussion that touched on the role of charity in the formation of seminarians, in medical research and artificial intelligence, as well as the concrete help and relief provided by thousands of Catholic charities, such as the Order of Malta. Throughout the evening, a common theme was Pope Francis's message of looking towards the peripheries.
Pope Francis talks about the shepherd should have the smell of the sheep, you know, and going to the peripheries means, you know, who are those that are in that, you know, in the pasture, shall we say, that need to be fed. And of course, I'm not talking now about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. We have a world that's in many ways devoid of God, you know. So the peripheries perhaps are those who are in the world with the rest of us, all of us together, you know, finding themselves in sometimes very lonely, again, ostracized, depressed ways, because they're wondering what value does my life have?
Isolation, loneliness, and depression are symptoms of our modern society and are disproportionately affecting our younger generations, who are having trouble building relationships and communicating with their peers. Another age group that's often overlooked when discussing the impact of technological developments is the elderly.
Thinking about next future, the periphery will be the elderly people, because we have a problem with birth rate, where medicine is and healthcare is progressing and we will improve. So our expectative of life is lasting longer, and we will have a problem of caring elderly people.
Artificial intelligence and the role of digital technology and its increasing impact on just about every aspect of daily life was a constant thread throughout the evening. While there was much preoccupation that the alienation the technology is causing could affect people's empathy and ability to relate to one another, Father David Hulshoff, who works with seminarians from the Pontifical North American College on their apostolic formation, brushed aside those worries, saying that no AI robot can provide what a human being is seeking.
What our men find in their conversations is that these students desire that personal relationship. You know, they've got so much technology at their fingertips, but when our men go to engage them about the basic questions of life, about God, about what does my life mean, you know, artificial intelligence can't do that. Can't have those personal conversations, can't move in and out of those nuances of what they're actually trying to tell me here. You know, what are their needs? Why are they lonely when they got all these things before ahead of them? What is innately part of the human being that can never, you could do all kinds of things with artificial intelligence, but you cannot reach that, you know, recesses of the heart. You know, that St. Augustine would talk, my heart is restless until it rests in thee, O God.
My heart is restless until it rests in thee. Those iconic words from St. Augustine embody one of the foundational elements of Christian charity that cannot be forgotten. Regardless of how effective the new technology may be, or how pressing and overwhelming the challenges may look like, at the bottom of it all, people are looking for a relationship, one with their fellow citizens, and ultimately, one with Christ. Christian charity brings that into focus. In Rome this coming May 20th, the Italian national initiative, Scegliamo la Vita, or Let's Choose Life, will be held. The event aims to start with Pope Francis's reflection on what he calls the culture of waste and raise public awareness for the greatest right, the right to life.
Ogni anno faremo una marcia di questo genere.
We discussed this initiative with Massimo Gandolfini, a medical doctor specializing in neurosurgery and psychiatry, who's also the spokesman for the event.
Dr. Gandolfini, Saturday, May 20th, in Rome, the Manifestation for Life will take place. Can you tell us from where this initiative was born and where it gets its roots?
L'ispirazione venne intorno agli anni 1980-81.
The inspiration came around 1980 to 1981, after Law 194 was passed in Italy, which legalized abortion in 1978 and then the national referendum in 1981. The inspiration came from the then founder of the Movement for Life, Honorable Carlo Casini. It came too from the Marches for Life in the United States. From there, a series of marches started. Then later over time, they were modified a bit up until last year. In 2022, I, with some other friends, took the organization in hand, and we called it the Manifestation for Life, also to mark a discontinuity with respect to the previous marches that ultimately had aspects that not everyone liked. We created this manifestation because we were absolutely convinced that our country, but I would dare say all countries, if they want to truly pursue the common good and the civility of their peoples, the first and fundamental right that has to be protected is the right to life. The defense of life from conception to natural death. Our National Manifestation for Life, which will take place on May the 20th, will have as a central theme the respect for and the defense of life from conception to natural death.
Il rispetto e la difesa della vita dal concepimento alla morte naturale.
Has the Italian Bishops' Conference, or have people from the world of national politics, lent their support? Or beyond that, will they be present?
First of all, it must be said that at last year's manifestation, there was a lot of happiness, joy, and sincerely honor at being directly greeted by Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square, the day after the march during the Regina Coeli prayer. At the end, he gave us a greeting and encouragement directly to the manifestation. This year, we're repeating the same process. The Italian Bishops' Conference will participate by way of a message that will be sent out to all the participants. And of course, we have also engaged all of the Catholic bishops present in the country. Regarding the world of politics, we've specified that our manifestation is not a political or party-affiliated manifestation. We do politics with a capital P, that is, the defense of life, the defense of the natural family, the defense of parents' liberty to educate. This is our policy. It's a given that there are parliamentarians and political parties that in large part recognize these principles, and that, as happened last year, they will also be present this year.
E che come è accaduto l'anno scorso, anche quest'anno saranno presenti.
Dr. Gandolfini, when one speaks of the topic of abortion, what are the rights and duties that enter into conflict?
Here we've got to be very clear, because ultimately there's a lot of confusion among people. First of all, the right is just one, the right to life. The right to life of the conceived, of the child, is an inalienable right. But this is said no less than in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, for which the right to life is a true right. There is no right to abortion. It doesn't exist from the cultural point of view because the right to kill an innocent person can't exist. Further, it doesn't exist in our legislation or in our Constitution. Our hope through this manifestation is primarily to convoke a national day for nascent life. We in Italy have national days for everything, but a national day for nascent life is missing. Italy, unfortunately, is one of the nations that is among the first in denatality in the world. So an endorsement in the sense of encouraging new lives is fundamental. Then we wish to do everything also to help give women the right not to abort. Often there are economic problems. We want the government, the state, to create a fund that's dedicated to helping those with difficult pregnancies, those women who, for economic reasons, are contemplating an abortion.
Quelle donne che per motivi economici stanno pensando all'aborto.
Thank you.
Thanks to you. We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. How does one prepare for the priesthood in the modern world? What can studying in Rome teach you that no other place can? For the next few weeks, we'll be spending some time with seminarians from the Pontifical North American College in Rome as they bring us into their world.
Think language, it's like drumming in that way, because you've got this song going on and you're adding to it, but at the same time you're really providing the baseline, providing the foundation, the rhythm, the beat, so that all the other instruments can kind of join around that and communicate an entire song to the people. And realizing sometimes what the Lord has communicated to us in the scriptures, yeah, with the music and everything, see kind of a common thread there of you have to bring together all those resources of communication and language and culture and all that stuff. You have to bring it together in order to really understand what is the Word of God, like how has the Word of God been spoken to me and what is the Lord speaking to me now? And it's Flaminia.
Flaminia,
I'm Zane.
Yes.
I don't know
Zane.
If we've met before.
Yes,
so.
We have.
Oh, okay.
Right at the beginning, I was here the first session.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah,
yes.
Good to see you.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We're going to have a good day, okay?
We are.
It's going to be great. Our mission at St. Patrick's is really about teaching the kids that we serve, the kids preparing for First Communion and Confirmation, not only about the sacraments, but also about the Lord Jesus himself, the one who they receive in those sacraments. And I think the opportunity that's there for us is to show them what it looks like to have a living relationship with him, to try to hand on what it means to really be in love with Jesus. Here, who still needs a name tag? You need one? You need one. You've already got yours? You're on the ball, dude. Okay, so everyone go ahead and quiet down, and Troy's gonna call your name and take attendance, okay? So remember our rule, you can't talk unless you've got the juggling, or the hacky sack, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I was very fortunate because I had a very powerful experience of the Lord and his love when I was in eighth grade, actually, when I was getting ready for my confirmation. We had this just one day long retreat that really changed my life. We go to Mass every single time we come to religious ed, right? Why do you think we go to Mass? Julieta?
To speak with God.
To speak with God, good. What else? Why else do we go to Mass? Manuel?
To pray.
To pray, very good, very good. Why else? I mean, it really was going from an approach to life where God, you know, whether or not he existed didn't really matter, and the question of his presence wasn't really consequential to, if God exists, then that's everything. Just this experience of love, that I am loved, not just by a particular person or this person or that person, but by someone who loves me perfectly and knows me perfectly. Okay, so now what we're gonna do is I'm going to read to you of what happened at what we call the Last Supper. Can everyone say that with me? The Last Supper. So the Last Supper was it's a great responsibility, and there's a lot of times where I'm like, boy, I gotta make sure these kids know, like, that the Lord is present in the Eucharist. What happens 3 days after Jesus dies on the cross?
I remember.
Serafina.
Oh yeah.
Shh. that he's, not that he's still alive, but that he comes back from the dead. That's right. So 3 days after Jesus dies on the cross, he rises from the dead.
Peter and John ran to the tomb.
My son says they make it very interesting. It's very much tailored to their, I would say, to their attention gap as well, because you have to keep their interest. And actually, I have to admit that when we come, almost 4 hours, the time really flies.
We have like the 2 hour long catechesis and then followed by a community mass. So all the religious ed families stick around for the vigil mass on Saturday evening. Once a semester, we also do a Sunday mass where we preach all the homilies and get that experience of preaching the same homily multiple times in the same day. The Gospel of the Lord. And I guess what I hope to take away is really just a better understanding of, you know, where are the people in the church, families and young people, where they are in their faith, so that we can better hand on that faith to them.